And welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman with Dr. Ted Brower. By the way, if you go to HagmanReport.com, check out the article by Dr. Brower, Should Americans Store Food? It's a must-read indeed. And it's interesting that we would even be having this discussion, or should be having this discussion. Very good article, and it links back to healthmasters.com. By the way, healthmasters.com, Doug 5. Can't beat that. Also, one more thing before we get back to Dr. Brower. Peter Barry-Chalka has a tremendous article, insightful article. Once again, and as a matter of fact, if you go to HagmanReport.com, look on the right-hand side, he's got a collection of articles there that all in one place under his name. But this case, Fox News endorses and bankrolls major LGBTQ convention. Yeah, does that surprise anyone? Perhaps not, but nonetheless, it's documented there. So, having said that, also, I want to mention, too, my morning program today dealt with the Debbie Wasserman Schultz epicenter of the one spiring in Congress. I got to tell you, I don't think that the laptop, the documents found in the Rayburn office building, I do not believe that Imran Awan put them there. And that's based on a source I've got inside the Beltway, an investigator working on this, and I've been getting information all day. We're going to be collating that for the weekend. So anyway, I want to make that announcement as well. So with that, let's get back to Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Ted, come on in, man.
Well, thanks so much, Doug. You know, I want to thank everybody who's listening tonight for supporting Health Masters. We produce the finest, highest quality nutritional supplements in the world. Our products don't contain a bunch of additives, a bunch of chemicals. You know, I was just looking up right now, and I just pulled this off of the multivitamin mineral Centrum list, which is the number one selling vitamin product in the world, as far as I know, Centrum. The first ingredient in Centrum is calcium carbonate, which has been linked repeatedly to basically arterial calcification. That's the number one ingredient in it. It also contains Red 40, which we know is a dye that you should never put into your body. It also contains talc. Talc's been linked to ovarian cancer. It also contains yellow 6. It also contains soy. I mean, you got to look at the ingredients and all this. It contains titanium dioxide. I mean, we don't put this stuff in our products. You don't have to put this stuff in your products. And so you have to ask yourself a question. Is this really what you want to put in your body? Titanium dioxide, polyethylene glycol, you know, I mean, all of this stuff in there, the dyes, the blues, I mean, all of this junk. Why in the world do people want to take these supplements that are so unhealthy? Remember, this is made by one of the world's largest pharmaceutical corporations. It's supposedly the number one selling multivitamin, not because it works, but because of a multi-million dollar ad campaign they do. So, guys, be really, really careful when you take supplements. Make sure they're as close to nature as you can possibly get. Make sure they don't have all kinds of binders and agents in them. Our product, our multiple vitamin, is powder in a capsule, which is a cellulose capsule, which is dissolved. If you don't even want to take a capsule, we have chewable multiples that we use for children that the kids love, and we have a powdered multivitamin that got rid of the ridges on my wife's nails. She'd been fighting these silly ridges for years, couldn't get rid of them. Finally, we shifted her to the multiple powder. It got rid of them almost immediately. So, guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. By doing so, you support a lot of different alternative radio, because we try to support and basically be part of the team here with the Hagmans and the Hodges and all these other people that we just are on with, and we support and we promote on a regular basis. So when you do this, when you get at least your multiple vitamins from us, which is like $25 a month, it allows us to do so much as far as helping everybody for this ministry that I believe that I've been called to, not a nonprofit 501(c), but the ministry of helping people and sharing the good news of the gospel to everybody around the planet so that we can know who and what we are in Christians. Because, guys, listen to me. When you're living a holistic lifestyle, it's a life without fear. It's really that simple. In conventional medicine, your body basically you think is a faulty machine that needs to be monitored and tinkered with and saved from itself through chemical and surgical interventions. That's what you think. You're believing that you have to take antibiotics and that your body is fighting something that's trying to kill you all the time. It's all about fear. It's ridiculous. But when you look at a holistic lifestyle From this perspective, the body responds purposely to the internal and external environment, and illnesses may be something your body's trying to do to cleanse itself. And guys, it's so important to be walking in a spirit of love and of a sound mind. I remember years ago, I had a lady call me up. She had breast cancer. In fact, her name was Katie. You know her. She was Dave Hodges' ex-co-host about a year and a half ago. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She called me up and she was so scared because of all the diagnoses she had received from her medical doctors up in Denver. And I finally looked at her and I said, you know, are you a Christian or not? She goes, of course I am. I said, well, you have to believe God for your healing. And I said, there's some natural things that you can do to increase your immune system. So she worked with her doctor up there in Colorado, Doug, her medical doctor, and he put her on a natural protocol, and she ended up basically fully recovering from the breast cancer. And she told me, she said, you are the only person, Ted, that told me not to walk in fear. See, fear is the faith killer, Doug. It's the mind killer. It debilitates people when they start walking in fear because they don't make good decisions anymore, because now they're doing everything on a fear-based mindset. And we can't do that. That's not what we're called to as Christians. So, guys, listen to me. There's natural things you can do. You can take potassium iodide. You get intravenous vitamin C. You can take turmeric every single day. You can take oral vitamin C every day. You can take the ACEs, the A, E, C, and selenium every single day. There's all kinds of natural things that you can do so you never have to come down with cancer in this preventative mindset. And I talk about that today in the article I wrote and posted on your website, Doug, Should Americans Store Food? And you guys need to all read that article because it makes sense when you read it from that mindset of what we need to do as Christians and why so many people are walking in fear all the time. And see, look at another one, Doug. Over 1 million children right now under the age of 6 are currently on psychiatric drugs in America. I'm going to repeat that. Over 1 million children under the age of 6 are currently on psychiatric drugs in America. I mean, this blows my mind that this many kids are given psychiatric drugs. While around half these children are 4 to 5 years and old, an incredible 274,804 of them are younger than a year old. Doug, wow. They're putting babies on psychiatric drugs. The number rises for toddlers ages 2 and 3, with over 370,000 kids from 2 to 3 taking psychiatric drugs. Now, maybe, just maybe, your 2-year-old is hyper because he's a 2-year-old. How about that? Okay, that sounds pretty good. How about this? How about your 2-year-old has some neurological damage or is being poisoned by the immunizations he's been given with the aluminum and the mercury, and is having decreased synaptic function, and that's why he's acting like he is? Maybe he's pre-autistic because of what happened to him with the immunizations. Maybe that's why they're doing something with the psychiatric drugs. Guys, think through your children. Remember, guys, your health is your own responsibility. I heard an old Baptist preacher one time. He said it very succinctly. He said, your health is your own responsibility. It's like a pot. Every pot has its own bottom, and you've got to be responsible for your own health. Well, guys, listen to this. Your children's health is also your own responsibility. I've never seen a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 10-year-old or anybody that age get in a car, drive to the junk food store, Doug, buy a bunch of junk food, bring it home, and make themselves obese. Their parents are doing it to them, a lot of times because they don't know any better, a lot of times because they don't care. I remember one time I talked to a girl. Her name was Cindy. And she had a daughter, and they were friends of ours, and they were actually one of our clients from the office. I won't give you the last name. And her daughter was 8 years old, and she's already about 30 pounds overweight. And I said to her, I said, Cindy, are you not trying to help your daughter with her weight? She goes, I don't care if she gets obese. I said, what do you mean you don't care if she gets obese? She goes, it's not my problem. She wants to eat junk food and eat candy all day long. I don't care. They had a vending machine business, Doug. And they had all of this candy in the house. I mean, Twinkies and Ding Dongs and cupcakes and Little Debbies, all of this stuff they put in the vending machines, sodas. And so she would let this closet stay open, and this kid would go in and gorge herself with junk food all day long until she was 30, 40 pounds overweight at the age of 40, at the age of 8. Finally, you know, we basically parted paths with Cindy a few years later, and we found out that her daughter ended up ballooning up to about 400 pounds by the time she was 22 years old. 400 pounds. And the mother didn't care. And the other daughter was also obese. And, of course, the mother was walking. She's probably 20, 30 pounds overweight, but she wasn't obese. But she literally thought that an 8-year-old child could make decisions for themselves as far as what they would and should put into their body, and she wasn't going to intervene, even if the girl became totally morbidly obese, and she did not, and the girl did. This is the mindset that we've got to break in America. We can't allow our children to become sick and statistics because we decide we're not going to be careful with what we feed these kids. I've got another woman that I know, and I'm not going to mention her name. She had a daughter who became morbidly obese. And I talked to them when her daughter was like 12 years old, and I said, look, you really got to do something here because your daughter's starting to get really big. And she goes, no, I don't care. She can eat what she wants to eat. I'm not going to argue with her about it. She can do what she wants to do. I'm not going to have any rules about what they want to eat. They got to figure it out on their own. Now the woman's 25, 26 years old, 300, 350 pounds, huge. Doesn't make any difference. And finally, the mother said to me one day, in fact, your other son is like a pothead. He stays stoned all the time. I mean, he literally stays stoned 24 hours a day. He moved to Colorado so he could stay stoned legally, which a lot of people have. He gets up in the morning, Doug. See, he gets up in the morning and smokes pot, gets stoned, stays stoned all day. He can't hold a job down because he gets fired because he can't pass the blood test. Then he basically comes home, smokes another joint, stays stoned all night again. And that's his life. And she told me one time we were at dinner and with her husband. Her husband's a great guy. Her husband's a good friend. And she said to me one day, she goes, well, your problem, Ted, is you have too many rules. I said, okay, I've got too many rules. Okay, my oldest son graduated college, Austin, when he was the age of 19. Now he's finished his master's degree. And he's my co-host of my radio talk show. And he's absolutely brilliant with a wonderful marriage. My youngest son graduated collegiate valedictorian with a 4.63 GPA. He's going to go to law school. My middle daughter basically is in Montana now because she decided she didn't want to be part of the plan. She wanted to do what she wanted to do, which is okay. She can just do it out there. And my youngest daughter basically passed her college entrance exams at the age of 12. Now, by the way, my middle daughter passed her college entrance exams at the age of 14, including all of her math exams at the age of 15, and scored in the 99.99 percentile in math. Now, so she's comparing my children to her children. And I said to her, so we were at dinner, so I didn't say anything to her. So I thought about it when I came home. And I finally, she started arguing with me and yelling at me. It was insane. I'm even here at my house with my wife and her husband, and she's just having at me, you know. And finally I looked at her. I said, your problem is this. You feel guilty for the fact that your son's basically addicted to drugs. And you feel guilty that it's your fault that your daughter is 25 years old. She's not married. She's never been on a date. And she weighs 350 pounds because you allowed her to eat whatever she wanted to eat when she was 10, 12 years old and you didn't care. That's the problem we have right now. So you're in a situation where you're going, oh, I wish I hadn't let that happen. And now you're basically blowing back on me saying I got too many rules. Got another friend of mine, brilliant man, German. He's German. And he basically had a son who's about 14 years old, was staying stoned all the time. He was in a school in Orlando, staying stoned all the time on pot. They kept busting him. I told him, I said, look, I really recommend that you send him out to a boarding school, a Christian boarding school. They can help him that I know in Montana. And he said, well, I don't want to do it. Because my wife doesn't want to do it. She's afraid he'll get too religious if he goes to the boarding school. I said, get too religious? That's her big fear? Become a Christian? I said, that's not cool. I said, maybe he needs to become a Christian. Well, I know that. I said, well, here's what I don't want to have happen. I don't want to be sitting here 3 years from now here talking to you, and your son's back on the drugs again, and you're saying to me, oh, I wish I would have rather than I should have, or I'm so glad that I did. And he goes, well, I don't believe that's going to happen. I said, okay. They sent him to a very expensive session. It was like $36,000 for a 2-month trip to rehab to get off the drugs when he's like 14, 15 years old. It didn't stick. He's back on drugs, staying stoned all the time. He's 17 and a half years old. He'll be 18 in 6 months. Now he can no longer go to that camp that I know out there in Montana. And I told him this past weekend, I met with him again, and I said, he told me the kid was back on the drugs. And I looked and I dropped my head and I said, remember what I told you 3 years ago about sending him out to the rehab camp in Montana? And he goes, yeah, I remember. And I said, remember I told you I wouldn't be here 3 years from now telling you that you should have done this? And he goes, yep, well, here we are. You're right, I should have done it. Guys, this is so important. And the reason I tell you this from personal experiences is this. A lot of times you don't get a do-over with your children. If they start hanging out with the wrong kids or they get involved in drugs, a lot of times they don't come back. A lot of times they don't do the prodigal son thing. A lot of times they just take off and keep doing the drugs, like my father-in-law, Sharon's brother, did, and he dies of a heroin overdose when he's 36, 37 years old 2 years ago. I mean, it's one of those things you've got to do everything you can until they're 18. You've got to do as much intervention as you possibly can to try to avoid being in the type of scenario that I just talked about, Doug. What do you think? Because I know you as an investigator, you've seen a bunch of stories like this.
There's nothing I can add. And you know, it's sad because, you know, 18, when a child is young and you need to intervene, you need to be a parent, not a friend. And that's a problem too today. Too many parents want to be friends. That's not your job. You be a parent. You be a father, not a friend. Obviously, the relationship can cultivate a friendship as a father, but it's a father first. So yeah, and we're lacking in that. We're lacking in, and there's too much, the mindset too. So many people want to be professional victims, or consistent victims. This victim mentality. It's just crazy. So yeah.
Well, I've got a phone number for you guys. About okay. The place in Montana. If you want, Doug, I can give it out. If not, I won't. You tell me what you want.
Well, of course, because I know there are people out there that.
They don't take that. If you've got a kid right now that needs help, this group does not take any violent children. It won't do that. If they're over 16 and a half, they won't take them. But they're really a good group of people, and I'm telling you that you need to evaluate, make your own decision on this. I'm not endorsing them. I'm not endorsing them. I'm telling you they're a good group of people, and I'm giving you the name right now to the owner, and I'm giving you his private cell phone number, and I'm going to blow his phone up with you guys. We're going to blow his phone up. It's 406-546-9015. 406-546-9015. His name is Dan, and you tell him I told you to call him. And if you have a kid that basically doesn't want to be part of the program, that basically needs some help, they're a Christian organization. They're going to take him to church. They're going to work with them. It's on a cattle ranch out in Montana. They don't have a lot of vacancies out there, but they'll be able to help as many as they can. And they're a good group of folks. And I highly, highly, highly enjoy knowing these guys and supporting them and their ministry. And they are a true ministry. It's not like one of these things where you've got to sign a 3-year contract with them and guarantee that you're going to pay them $60,000 or $70,000 like some of these programs are. It's none of that. You guys, call him up and see if he can help you if you've got a child that's unruly who simply doesn't want to listen but who is not violent. They will not take violent kids out there.
What's the age range again? Age range?
Oh, I've seen kids as young as 12 years of age out there.
All right, to 16 and a half.
Yeah, 16, they can't do it. It's like a 2-year protocol for them, and they've learned that they can't really do much with them in a year and a half or a year because they're waiting to turn 18, and they check themselves out, and they're done. It's a 1,000-acre cattle ranch. They learn how to ride horses. They learn how to rope steers. They're just a great group of people. They're absolutely wonderful, and I endorse them, but this has to be your own decision. If you decide you want to go out there, I've already given you Dan's phone number, so that's a direct hotline to him. So if you guys want to if you have a child that you need to send out there, it's a case-by-case basis, and I told him that if it was okay with you, Doug, that I was going to give out his phone number. He said, okay, but that's the kind of people these guys are. They're going to learn the things of the Lord. They're going to have Bible study, and they're going to be in church every Sunday, and hopefully, if you get them there soon enough and they haven't been tainted too much by the world, you can get a new child back as far as having been messed up, because, guys, it's so important that we understand that our kids are our legacy on this planet. I mean, when we check out of here, the kids are the ones that are left. And so many parents, they don't even so many parents, Doug, the craziest thing is so many parents don't even know their kids are on drugs. They don't even know. And if you try to, like I told Sharon's dad, I told Sharon's dad 18 years ago that her brother was a doggone druggie, and he didn't believe me. I mean, his skin was as yellow as jaundice from the drugs he was taking. It was unbelievable. And he wouldn't believe me. He absolutely wouldn't believe me. And now the kid's dead of a heroin overdose. And guys, don't allow yourself to be that guy. If you got any suspicions that these kids are doing this, get a urine test, get a blood test, and get a hair test done. They can't fake the hair test. They can do all kinds of things to try to mask it on the blood test and the urine test, but they can't fake the hair test. And that's how they finally busted this kid in Orlando again. He tested positive blood and urine, and then they tested him on his hair. But about a year ago, he got tested positive again, and he basically faked another test and was able to walk away. These kids, they're so smart. If you make them do a urine test, they'll put a sack of urine in their pants from one of their friends who's clean, and they'll pretend like they're using the bathroom if they're a guy, and they'll pour that into a doggone beaker, and it's still warm because it was next to their body. Doug, have you seen that?
Yep.
Yeah, I have to.
And I'll tell you, there's only one answer to that. There's only one way around that. And the guys or the young men don't like it. But I have a pair of barbecue tongs. Enough said.
or you can watch them. You can watch them too. By the way, plastic fibers are now found in 83% of the world's tap water because of all the plastic we have. And in the United States, researchers found that 94% of all water samples were contaminated with plastic. Guys, with all the BPA that's in everything, now we're actually ingesting plastic through our water. These microscopic fragments enter the water system in multiple ways, including synthetic fiber clothing, tire dust, and microbeads, as well as fragmenting of larger pieces of plastic. For the most part, is non-biodegradable. You have to be using a distillation system. Right now, the Doug 5 coupon is active. And if you want, you can go to the website and you can get a distiller and you can basically stop this plastic from being in your water. 94% of all water samples taken in the United States were found to be contaminated with plastic. That's a pretty awful statistic, Doug. Because you know, guys. You think you're eating clean. You know, you think you're eating clean because you're drinking bottled water that's contaminated with plastic, and it's also in a plastic bottle, which means it's probably leaking, you know, BPA into the water. Or you find out later that almost all the major manufacturers, which I've covered them all in depth on your show, that you're buying the water from, are putting fluoride in the water. Fluoride. Okay, rat poison, hydrofluorosilicic acid, and you're like, well, they were not supposed to put that in there. But when you test it, it's positive, it's in there. And the reason a lot of that happens is because they're using municipally treated water, Doug, for their bottled water. And the systems they're using aren't taking the fluoride back out, and that's why there's so much fluoride in there.
I have to tell you, out of all of the water distillers I've seen in my nearly six decades of life, and I'm not just saying this, Ted, your water distiller, I believe, is by far the best. Just judging by the contaminants I see that you scrape off. I mean, it's amazing. And this is filtered water that I put through that, or once in a while, infrequently, bottled water. Because I don't really buy bottled water, but the distiller is great. So Doug 5, get a distiller, folks.
And we have a small countertop distiller that works great.
Yeah.
And we've got a big boy. Then we got the big boy. That's the one I've got at the house. I got the big boy. It sits out in the garage and it just hums like a well-oiled machine. It has a 12-gallon reserve tank in the bottom of it, and so it pumps water to your refrigerator and to your ice maker. So you get all of this perfect water in your distiller, from the distiller in your ice maker and to your kitchen sink through a gooseneck faucet. And you don't have to be going back and forth filling up jugs. It's pumped right there for you. That's what we have at the house, because you get the water right out of the refrigerator that's distilled. Yep. And like, you never have to change the filter in the refrigerator because there's nothing in the water. You know, very, very important. By the way, the NAACP has said something, and I think it's pretty good. It says this: they're calling for a ban on the electroshocking of children. So apparently that's the next big thing now in psychiatry, is when you bring a rowdy 10 or 12 or 13 or 14-year-old into the psychiatric office, they decide they're going to electroshock the children, and they're going to run 450 volts of electricity through the brain, causing a massive convulsion to theoretically relieve but not cure depression. The Food and Drug Administration reports that the adverse effects from electroconvulsive shock therapy include cardiovascular complications, cognition and memory impairment, death, dental and oral trauma, which means you can bite your tongue off, or you can basically chip your teeth and bite down so hard when you get shocked that much. You know how it is when you touch a hot wire and how bad it hurts. You can have a device malfunction. You can have manic symptoms. You have pain, discomfort, physical trauma, pulmonary lung complications, and potential worsening of psychiatric symptoms. And you can also have brain damage, yet they want to do it on these young children. And apparently they're now diagnosing a lot of African-American men in mental hospitals, and they're giving them, and they basically have a disorder of up to 1,500% higher than white men, and that's why the NAACP have gotten involved, because they want to stop electroshocking children. Guys, this is a barbaric thing that has been done now for a long, long time, and almost invariably, when you have a child that has problems mentally, it's because of immunizations, it's because of the fact that they're deficient in methylated B vitamins, or it's deficient in omega-3 fats. And I know my daughter, Savannah, she's 15, she'll be 15 years old in a couple of months, and she has to take her vitamins every day, because when she starts her period every month, if she doesn't take her vitamins, it's like there's no living with her. I mean, just to be honest with you guys, there's no living with her. She's a very smart young lady, but she gets real, real, real PMS. Probably, she gets real menopausal, not menopausal, she gets real bad PMS, and she ends up in a situation where she wants to just, like, you know, argue about everything. And my wife said to her the other day, look, this isn't working for me. You've got to take your supplements every single day so you can stop this behavioral pattern. Guys, here's the thing. If we know we're going to have hormonal changes throughout the month, if you're a lady, and you know that supplements will work to try to correct a lot of these conditions, why not take the supplements and avoid having to deal with that yourself? I remember years ago, Doug, I knew a guy in Tallahassee, and his marriage was on the rocks. I mean, it was bad. And I knew them very, very well. I knew both him and his wife. And I'll never forget, they went into the Baptist campus ministry there, and they spoke to a guy by the name of Dr. Shuford Davis. Now, this is close to 40 years ago. I mean, I'm not sure if Shuford Davis is even alive anymore. And I'll never forget, because I knew Shuford Davis too from the Baptist campus ministry. And I'll never forget, the gentleman was having severe problems with his wife because she was sick all the time, Doug. I mean, she was always sick. Severe headaches, constipation. I mean, it was unbelievably how sick she was all of the time. Didn't want to have sexual relations with him because she was sick all the time. This guy's in his 20s, and he didn't know what to do. So finally, he brings her to the psychologist, and he starts talking to her. And the husband says to the psychologist, and this is, I'm referring this back from memory, from what I was told, that basically, my wife, if she takes her vitamins and she eats properly, she doesn't have constipation. It feels great. She doesn't have headaches. And she basically is a different person. And the psychologist looked at the wife and said, is this true? And she goes, yes, it's true. If I take the supplements, if I eat the right way, if I take this protein powder and I stabilize my blood sugars, I'm not constipated, I feel great, and I feel absolutely wonderful all of the time. And he goes, well, do you do that? And she goes, well, no, I don't do that at all. I don't take the supplements. And the guy looked at her and goes, and you know, this is a true story. And the guy looks at her and he goes, well, why don't you want to take the supplements? She goes, because I don't want to. I don't care. And she goes, and he goes, well, do you think that's fair to your husband? She goes, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. That was the attitude. Well, that whole marriage ended in divorce. Okay.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is, you know, the guy, he was a very strong Christian. She claimed to be a Christian, but you can't be that way in life. You've got to be willing to do stuff for each other. And that's what I've always told folks with me and Sharon. We've got a great marriage, but we give 100% in each direction. She gives me 100%. I give her 100%. Sometimes I notice her moods are a little off, especially when she was going through menopause, and I'd say, honey, you got to tighten this down some. You got to take some different supplements, and we did. In fact, we talk about it in our Breakthrough Health book. By the way, we have a new book coming out. It's at the typesetters right now. It's in line to get printed. It will be ready for the stores and on the shelves by the end of this year, and it's a complete lifestyle program with over 100 recipes on how to eat clean and be incredibly energetic all the days of your life. So that's coming out.
Wow.
That's going to be out momentarily. In fact, I'll break the news on my show, then I'll break it on your show, Doug, and we'll have it available. It's going to be like $29.95. It's going to be incredibly inexpensive for what it is. So we've got all of this coming out. But guys, think about this for a second. If you've got a situation in which you're impotent, okay, now I'm talking to guys now, that's not fair to your wife either. And you're saying, well, I'm taking high blood pressure medicine, it may be impotent. Well, there's natural things that you can do from a high blood pressure standpoint that can get you off the medicine if you're a doctor and you can work that out, that will make you so you're no longer impotent. And so I always tell folks, always try the natural approach first. We've got the HGH Stimulate, which works incredible as far as it acts like a natural Viagra in men. Plus, it helps to lower blood pressure. It helps maintain healthy blood pressure. In addition to that, it helps to stimulate human growth hormone, which helps to burn body fat and helps to increase lean muscle mass. And women actually said it increases libido in women, too, and the men increases libido in men. So there's all kinds of natural things that you can do on a regular basis to really increase energy levels and feel absolutely wonderful. And then if that's not enough for you, you go to the website and get the Alpha Male Stack. If you want to really run your testosterone back up, we've had tremendous results with this. It's called the Alpha Male Stack. If you're having problems with mood swings, if you're staying depressed or you can't keep your mind right, take our Cortisol Buster, Doug. It's one of the best products we've ever developed. In fact, we actually marketed that product for the first time on your show blew the walls off the office as far as the sales, because it's an adaptogenic compound of herbs that actually helps to give your body what it needs to feel great and help to combat stress. Especially nowadays with everything that's going on with storms and all this other junk and earthquakes, people are always saying to me, you know, how can you stay so calm? And I say, well, I take my supplements, I read my Bible every day, I pray every single day, and I believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we have to do our part in that puzzle. Does that make sense, Doug?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And the Cortisol Buster is a great product too. It addresses the peaks and valleys. So that's a good product.
Yeah, I had a friend
of stand by it.
I have a friend of mine. He was on 200 stations. He was syndicated for a long time, and now he's one of the top radio personalities in the country. And he had me come on a few months ago as a guest. And he goes, "What the heck did you give me with that Cortisol Buster?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Dude, I'm driving through traffic and I don't even get mad." He goes, "I just feel relaxed." And I said, "I'm real focused. I'm real focused, and I'm real acute. My mental acuity's way up. But I just don't get mad about stuff. I'm just really just real succinct in what I do, and I don't have those highs and lows anymore." And I said, "Yeah, that's what it does." And by the way, here's another article. It says the emerging infertility crisis with men, and it's talking about if sperm rates continue to decline in men, humans could become extinct. It said analyzing nearly 200 studies, researchers have found that the sperm counts of men across North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand have been cut in half. Up some places up to 90% in the past 40 years, and the study found the decline in men's sperm counts may also be accelerating. That's one of the reasons we put together the Alpha Male Stack. Now, one other thing I want to say, I mentioned this earlier, I want to give you some more information on that. Opioid use by American men, Doug, may account for up to one-fifth of the decline of their participation in the U.S. labor force, according to a study by Princeton University economist Alan Krueger. He says, quote, "The opioid crisis and depressed labor force participation are now intertwined in many parts of the United States." Guys, this is true. I have a friend of mine who's a contractor up in North Carolina, and he told me, Doug, it's literally almost impossible now to hire people that are not on opioids in the labor force. Almost impossible. I've got another friend of mine. His name's Mike Florendino. He's the restaurant chain owner for the Florendino restaurants here in Central Florida. Brilliant man, really good friend of mine. And he told me tonight, he called me up. He's having to do a lot of the work himself now in some of his major restaurants because he said, "I can't find staff anymore. Nobody tests clean for drugs anymore. It's unbelievable what's going on." See, guys, if they're going to tear the United States apart, they've got to put a bunch of people on opioids so they don't care about anything except for getting the next fix. Does that make sense, Doug? If a person's an addict, they don't care about eating clean. Okay.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I'll give you that. I do question the opiates. I've got some, and you know how I feel about this. I think that the war on drugs I think is ineffective, and I think it's a farce. And in terms of the opiates, when used effectively for pain, I mean, but what I'm seeing, Ted, is this police state against doctors, where doctors are afraid to prescribe opiates when required, medically required.
What that allows to happen, Doug, it allows the black market of opiates to take over. And because you're absolutely right, because, you know, in California, let me read you this. This is from the Sacramento Bee. This is more opioid prescriptions than some people who live in some California counties. It says Trinity County is the state's fourth smallest and ended last year with an estimated population of 13,000 people. Its residents also fill prescriptions for oxycodone, hydrocodone, and other opioids 18,439 times. In other words, there's more prescriptions being filled for opioids than there are people in the doggone county. It says places like West Virginia, Ohio, and rural New England have become synonymous with prescription painkiller abuse and a scourge blamed for more than 183,000 deaths. California, though, is far from a bystander to the crisis. There were 1,925 opioid-linked overdose in California last year. So what happens, Doug, is you're right. in many cases, when a doctor can actually use an opioid product to really eliminate or alleviate severe pain, they're scared to do it now for loss of their licenses because they've really cracked down on a lot of doctors who overprescribed opioids. The biggest problem then what happens is, and we've seen this, and I've done shows on this on my show with Austin, is that a lot of this heroin being manufactured in Afghanistan is being shipped to true pharmaceutical labs either in Pakistan or India, and they're actually making like a generic OxyContin or oxycodone or something else with opiates in it that looks identical to the manufacturer product that's being used in the United States. I mean, it's identical. You can't tell the difference.
Yeah, and no, I've heard that, yes.
Yeah, and it's being sold on the black market as an alternative to heroin. And what they're doing is they're grinding this stuff up and they're injecting it. And a lot of people don't want to be, quote-unquote, on heroin, but they'll grind up an OxyContin and they'll use that. See, this is the problem that people – I mean, even Rush Limbaugh got addicted to this stuff years ago. You guys remember that story. I mean,
sure.
This stuff is a miracle drug. A miracle drug when it's used properly, but it's not being used properly. And a lot of these manufacturers are being sued by cities and states now because they've done all kinds of marketing in their areas to try to push people this direction. And then when they get addicted to it, they start having all kinds of health problems and crime problems and everything else in their areas. Because, guys, when you get really addicted to opioids, I mean, it's a miserable withdrawal. I mean, it'll mess with your head. You'll get the shakes. You'll be throwing up. You'll think you're about to die. But the problem is that they don't want to experience that, Doug, so they'll do anything they have to get the next fix. And I've seen it over and over again. But you're absolutely right, Doug. When used properly and used by a physician who's not allowing you to get addicted to it, they are literally a miracle drug when they're used properly for a very short period of time. I'm talking a couple of days and not being used on a daily basis for years on end. What do you think?
No, you know, the entirety. What you're saying is true, and I understand both sides. Well, I understand what you're saying, but again, I really have a problem with how this whole situation is being executed, how the government is handling this, and it's very interesting. Well, let me ask you. If you remove the, which is kind of going back a little bit, but if you remove the number of deaths from heroin, from illicit, drugs like heroin, okay, or heroin itself, are the numbers, how many people have died from overdoses if you take out heroin? Is it?
Doug, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I'm not seeing it because every time I look at those numbers, it's around 500,000 right now, or 1 million in the last 20 years, if I remember the numbers. But I don't have those statistics in front of me. Here's the thing. We did a show with you guys, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago, or last month, I can't remember anymore, in which we talked about the real reason that we're in Afghanistan and why we're increasing the troop concentrations in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the literally $1.5 trillion in heroin and opioids that are coming out of Afghanistan into the black market and into the mafia control every year. And the craziest thing about this is that, you know, Trump has pretty much given over the entire Afghan war to his military-industrial complex without much oversight. And so he's kind of like absolving himself from all of that. And so that's one of those things that you really get to see how messed up this is, that we're basically funding all of this opium production through our troops on the ground and keeping the Taliban from destroying the crops. So we've got a major problem. Because you remember the Chinese opium wars they had? Oh, gosh, you know, so many people in China got hooked on opium. This is what they're doing to the United States right now. Because remember, a population of millions of people that are addicted or being given prescriptions for these types of drugs, they're rendered ineffective as far as any type of patriot movement in most cases, not every time, but in most cases, because they're dealing with either chronic pain or a chronic addiction that's pretty much debilitating them from making really good rational decisions. I remember years ago, I was given some Dilaudin because I had back surgery from my surgeon. And I've had two injection surgeries and one full-blown L4, L5 decompressive laminectomy. This is one of the injection surgeries. The guy had given me some basically Dilaudin because I was in excruciating pain. And I remember I took this stuff, and it basically knocked the pain out so fast it kind of like blew my mind because it was extremely painful in my back. And then I took it the next day. It took a little bit more. And then like the next day my bowel stopped moving. It was like ridiculous, and I thought, this is crazy. But it broke that pain cascade, Then finally, by the fourth day, I'm thinking I got to take some more. I thought, wait a minute, this is really addictive stuff. So I backed off of it. I found other alternatives, including omega-3 fats with cod liver oil and turmeric for the inflammation, and I was able to come off of that. But by the fourth day when I was on it, when I started coming off of it, I could feel it, like it was already calling me and pulling me. Because remember, the opioid addiction is so real, the heroin addiction, the opioid addiction, the laudanum addiction, whatever you want to call it, the opioids, that you could actually have phantom pain or false pain in your body with your body creating the pain because they want you to get another pill. It wants you to take some more morphine because the body will actually create the pain in order to facilitate you taking the drug. I have a good friend of mine. He lives locally, and he basically had a real bad shoulder injury, and he got on the opiates and got really, really addicted to them. About cost him everything, bless his heart. And he ended up in a situation where he finally got into rehab, and he got off of them. He's been clean now for many years. But the thing he told me was, Ted, you have no idea what a strong addiction that stuff is if it ever gets a hold of you. And he said it doesn't matter if you're an attorney, a doctor, a nurse, you know, a construction worker. He said it doesn't matter who you are. It's no respecter of title or education. It's just really, really addictive to the human body. And you know what, Doug? He's right. That's why I believe in its usage, especially in the chronic management of pain. But I also believe that people need to be doing what they need to as far as what type of exercise can they do, what kind of stretching can they do, what type of anti-inflammatory compounds can they take, and all of these things on an ongoing basis. Because think about this. If a person has chronic back pains, but they're drinking 6 sodas a day, bringing in 72 teaspoons of sugar, which dissolves basically bone, and they're also drinking all that carbonic acid in the sodas, and they're basically dissolving bones, causing more and more and more back problems, doesn't it make sense before you start putting them on a really strong prescription drug to eliminate the back problems that just maybe you have them change their diet and start taking anti-inflammatory compounds, you know, that'll help?
Yeah, yeah. And that just makes sense, perfect sense. And I totally agree with you on that.
Well, because think about it. I mean, I've got a friend of mine who's got chronic back pains, and he's always complaining about it. But he drinks sodas, 6 a day, every day, high fructose corn syrup, every single day. Blood sugar's up. The other day he went to work, he's coughing up blood. I mean, and the guy's like 50 years old, no stamina left, you know, joint problems all the time from all the sodas he's drinking. And he's a friend of mine, and I've talked to him repeatedly, and I said, you know, dude, I said, when are you going to stop acting like a teenager? He goes, what do you mean, man? I said, you know, why do you think that you can... I'm like, this is this conversation I just had this week, Doug. And I said, why do you think you can keep doing this to your body and you're 50 years old and your body's not going to rebel? I mean, he told me the other day, I went to work and I started coughing up blood. He said, I took a bunch of BC powder before I went to work and my back was hurting so bad and I started coughing up blood. And I'm like, dude, I said, don't you realize that salicylates are poisonous and high concentrations of the aspirin is? That you can kill yourself with this stuff and it's unbelievably hard on the gut and you'll tear a hole right through your stomach lining. There's natural things that you can take. Doesn't want to hear it, Doug. Doesn't want to hear it. Doesn't want to stop it. Doesn't want to change his diet. See, some people just don't get it. It's like I talked about before on your show. There's like a veil. The Bible said it's a veil that's been placed around the mind of the unbelievers so they cannot see and know the truth about who Jesus Christ and what Christianity really is. And they continue to believe the lie. And Jesus said it this way, light has come into the world, but the world is for the darkness. And that's from a spiritual standpoint. But it's the same thing is true as far as health. A lot of people are going to be open to health. A lot of people aren't going to be open to health. A lot of people are open to dietary changes. A lot of people aren't open to dietary changes. I mean, if you're listening to me right now, and you're 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds, 100 pounds overweight, and you feel absolutely awful, and you've got a whole bag full of prescription drugs you have to take every day, and your energy's in the toilet, and you can't think clearly, and your brain's gone to mush, I got to ask you a question. How bad does it have to get before you start changing your lifestyle? I mean, if you're sitting around drinking beer every night or drinking sodas every night or eating junk food every night and eating GMO foods every night that could be causing a lot of these conditions, when are you going to try a natural attention, a natural protocol? I mean, you can start as simple as just taking some multiple vitamins that are good and healthy, not the ones I was talking about with Centrum. To start taking a really healthy multiple vitamin product, you can get it through Health Masters. And you can say, wow, okay, I've done something. If you start doing one thing a day that's positive for your health, you can build on that, and you can start doing more and more and more things. Maybe you need to start eating an organic apple every day. Maybe an organic apple every day will help you as far as getting your bowels cleansed out and giving you additional nutrients. We say, well, I don't like apples. Well, then eat an organic orange. It doesn't make any difference. Eat an organic avocado. If you don't like any of that stuff, find something you want to eat that's healthy and start eating it on a regular basis and start making the little changes.
But let me ask you, because I happen to see this at the grocery store. All right, they've got organic bananas, and then they've got bananas. Now, I'm sure there are other fruits the same way. What's the difference between an organic banana and just a banana? What's the difference?
They weren't sprayed with pesticides. They're not supposed to have been sprayed with pesticides. They weren't supposed to have had inorganic fertilizers used on them if they're truly certified organic. Plus, they taste better because in most cases they have a much higher mineral content, and they don't use gas to ripen them. So it's like a natural banana that you can eat that's actually off a tree without a bunch of gas to make it get ripe and without a bunch of chemicals or sprays that are put on it. So you're not getting all the pesticides and all the other junk. So organic bananas here are like 49 cents a pound. Regular bananas are like 29 cents a pound.
Right.
So yeah. If you buy 3 pounds of bananas, like 60 cents more to get the organic bananas or whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. It's not like it's some giant amount of money to buy organic on bananas. Because it's so true that the organic ones are going to have a much better processing as far as not having all the pesticides and sprays put on them. So, again, like that's a good thing, too. Start buying organic bananas instead of regular bananas. It didn't cost you 60 cents more. Okay, just go ahead and get the organic bananas. And yeah. Start thinking through that. Instead of going out and going to that awful Starbucks association that basically said if you're a Christian person that you don't want... You know what they said? Don't come to our store unless instead of spending $3, $4, and $5 for a cup of coffee from those guys, why don't you like just use one of our purple sticks, you know, and you know for 20, 30 cents or whatever it costs, and do that instead of doing the expensive Starbucks stuff. Why don't you think through what you're doing and the money you're spending so you can save money to do the healthy thing? See, it doesn't cost much to eat home and eat healthy. It costs a lot to eat junk food out in restaurants. That's expensive. I had a friend of mine. His name was Michael, and his wife was named Patty, and they're divorced now. And in fact, he lives in China, and she lives in California. And I'll never forget this. They were spending about $3,000 a month, Doug, eating out at restaurants literally every meal because that's what they like to do. And she basically was an excellent cook, but he liked to eat out. She didn't care, so she went with him, and they were spending $36,000 a year. Remember, eating out. And most of this stuff...
How do you even do that? And I'm not being stupid. That's a hell of a lot of money. $750 a week.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, you go out every night for dinner, and you go to an expensive restaurant, and you spend $85 per person. That's $160 per night that you're spending on the restaurant.
We're not talking Burger King, man. All right.
Right. No, we're not talking Burger King. We're talking about, I remember I went out with him one time, and Sharon and I went to this fancy restaurant with him. And, you know, Sharon and I, we always split meals. And it's not because we're trying to save money, though that's a good reason to do it, because we don't want the calories, especially if you're eating at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. When you get past the age of 40, because you guys haven't noticed, you know, fat starts to cling to you like static electricity to a pair of polyester pants. You know, it's just, it's awful. And so what we learned is this. If we just split the meals, and we've been doing this for over 20 years, or 30 years actually, if we just split the meals, it cuts the calories in half. And that way, if you want to order a different entree or order a different salad, you can split that too, and everybody gets to leave there without being bloated, and it only costs you half as much money. But I remember we were at this really fancy restaurant, and Sharon and my meal was like $60, and that included the tip. That was everything, and that was expensive for us. And I remember his meal was like $180 for him and his wife. And I'll never forget, he ordered sea bass. I'll never forget this. It was like $40 a plate or $45 a plate. And he didn't want just one piece of sea bass. He ordered two pieces of sea bass. So they charged him like $75 for the extra piece of sea bass and his original meal. And I thought, this guy is just burning through cash. I mean, it's crazy that these guys have this kind of money to spend on eating out. And their bill, again, was $180 that night. And they did that every single night. They literally knew every restaurant that had good, high-quality, expensive food in Orlando. They could tell you which ones to go to and which ones not to, because they literally ate out at least twice a day, every day, all the time. And now they're no longer married. His wife ended up getting extremely obese, bless her heart, from eating out all of the time because they never would split a meal. And basically he decided he didn't want to be married to her because she was too big. This is the true story. I'm not making this up. And they're supposedly Christians. And I've seen all kinds of stuff like this all of my life with people that I know who you think have these great marriages, but then certain things start happening. And basically they start growing apart. In fact, I told them one day, I said, if you guys don't stop bickering each other and fighting all the time and, you know, and basically hassling each other, this marriage is not going to stick. I said, you can't be doing that. You guys have to be giving 100% in both directions if you want a marriage to last for decades. Because if you don't do it that way, pretty soon you get so mad at each other that you just decide you don't want to be together anymore, and you simply walk. And I've seen it over and over, Doug. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah, of course. It's that destructive behavior too. And you know, as we look at the landscape, the demographics, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Exactly.
Well, here's another one. UNICEF just finished vaccinating 355,000 people, children, to halt a polio outbreak that they caused by vaccinating children in the first place by giving them the live polio virus, which caused a whole bunch of these kids to come down with polio.
It's good business, right? Good business.
I mean, polio has basically been eradicated, but they decided to go in there and do all of this stuff and give these kids polio. UNICEF, the World Health Organization, WHO, and partner organizations have been hard at work administering the polio vaccine to over 355 young Syrian children. This urgent immunization program has been undertaken in response to an outbreak of vaccine-derived polio in parts of Syria that has been racked by violence. While these healthcare workers certainly demonstrate compassion and bravery, especially considering the environment they're being forced to work with, it defies logic that inflicting more vaccines on Syrian children is the best response to an outbreak that was caused by the vaccines in the first place. I mean, guys, come on. I've got a good friend of mine. He's a great friend, actually. I've known him for, 30 years, and he had polio as a child. That was from the vaccine. From the live polio virus they gave us, the vaccine they gave us back in the 60s. And he's crippled up. And he told me one time, he goes, Ted, he goes, you can't believe what it was like being 7, 8, 9 years old and being perfectly healthy. He's a big guy, he's about 6'4". And he says, and being perfectly healthy and being an incredible athlete and taking this polio virus, and suddenly within a 2-week period, I'm in bed and I can't move my legs anymore. He says, it's devastated my life. And I said, well, yeah, I can believe that. See, this is the problem that you run into with these guys when they were given blanket immunity in 1986 by Ronald Reagan to do whatever they want to do with vaccines. It doesn't matter who they hurt or who they kill, because you can go to the Vaccine Compensation Fund, which has paid out billions and billions of dollars. People say, well, vaccines don't hurt people. Then why have they paid out $4.5 billion of people who've been injured through vaccines if they don't cause any problems? Guys, you've got to think through the lies and the narrative. See, they spin the news to tell you what they want to tell you. They spin the news to make you think that they're telling you the truth. In a vast majority of cases, especially when it comes to drugs like this, they're not telling you the truth. They're lying to you because they don't want you to know the truth, and they don't expect you to understand that you should go out and verify what they've said. Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, he wrote a great book back in the 80s. It was called Confessions of a Medical Heretic. He also wrote a really good article one time. It was called Vaccine Roulette. And he wrote another book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. And he was a pediatrician by trade, by the way. And he ended up dying very, very young, which I think was very strange, the way that he died suddenly. But he was doing the talk show Shirk Circuit back in the 80s, and he was a brilliant, brilliant scientist and medical doctor. And he said, basically what happens is we've got to stop looking at medical doctors as if they're God. You know, they're like, they wear their priestly robes. You know, they're white gowns. They've got their stethoscope on, like they have a cross hanging around them. And we look at them like they're a God who has the power of life and death over us. And when they tell us to do things, we believe it. He says, we got to stop doing that. You got to realize that you got to make your own decisions. He said, the biggest percentage of sudden infant death occurs in children, like within 48 hours to 72 hours after immunization. He says, you've got to look at what's going on with these immunizations and who's benefiting from this and what it's doing to the children. See, it's so important that everybody does the research on this as far as the immunizations, and they make their own decisions, Doug, when they've compiled all of the results from all of the research they've done, and they look at it. See, I'm a big believer in just reading alternative news. Sometimes I read stuff I don't agree with because I want to see what the other side is saying. Sometimes I'll actually read something I don't agree with, and I may find 5% of what's in that article on something that I do agree with. In fact, I've got a personal email list, and it's about 100 folks, and I send out 10 or 12 emails a day, and that's how a lot of the stories that we use on our show I send out, and I'll tell them in the article, I don't agree with this article in its entirety. In fact, some articles I may not even read. You guys read it yourself, make up your own mind, and decide on what you want to believe, because guys, the book burning stuff, that doesn't work for me. You've got to be willing to look at alternative stuff and realize that just maybe you can learn something even from the opposition. Doug, what do you think?
No, you're 100% accurate. especially from the opposition, if I can add that. And I think it's important for us to look at all angles. You know, it amazes me the aversion people have to reading things that they find objectionable. Well, look at how much you can. I mean, look, I've got Rules for Radicals as an example. I want to know what the other side's playbook reads. I want to have that leg up. So intellectually, so yeah, you know, you're 100% accurate, sir.
Because a lot of times we think that the other side doesn't make any sense with everything they say. That's not true. Sometimes they make a lot of sense.
Well,
most of the time,
yeah.
Most of us, but you know, maybe 4 or 5%. You know, Bernie Sanders made so much more sense than Hillary Clinton. It was unbelievable because he was actually calling out Wall Street and the big banks, and basically, Hillary couldn't have that. The big banks couldn't have that. So they stole that election cycle from him. We know that happened now, but Bernie was making sense. Now, would I have voted for Bernie Sanders? Absolutely not. He's a communist. I mean, he's admitted that. Okay? But he was making more sense than the whacked out witch of Benghazi was making. And that's the sad part about it, is that people who were actually Bernie or bust, these guys got hosed, because the big chunk of the Democratic Party after that left and went over to Donald Trump, which I'm glad they did, because they had basically been completely hosed over by their own doggone party, Doug.
Oh, absolutely. And believe me, I am just astounded by the fact that people could actually get behind Sanders. However, that doesn't negate the stuff we saw with the election. We're going to be right back. Dr. Ted Brower is our guest. Healthmasters.com is his website. Doug5 is a coupon code. Buy your supplements through healthmasters.com. Support our show, support Ted, support all alternative media. We'll be right back. See where we're at.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood. At HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.